You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in, listening, watching, whatever you're doing here at the We Are The Real Short Box. My name is Donald.
I'm Chris.
And my name is Kevin.
Kevin, hey guys, thanks for joining. Yeah, this is going to be exciting. Today we're talking about San Diego Comic-Con, SDCC 2022, what we're looking forward to, actually the most. It's been quite a bit of time since we've had an official big SDCC. I know last year we had that little one, but I'll talk a little bit about that because I actually went to that. But I want to know your guys' feelings on this as far as like, are you ready?
Well, the world has changed.
Yeah.
The world has changed over the last 3 years. I mean, literally, it was the last decade when we had the last Comic-Con in 2019. And, you know, a lot of unfortunate, crazy things have transpired over the last 3 years from a pandemic. A lot of famous celebrities have passed away. Athletes have passed away.
I stopped wearing pants. So
you stopped wearing pants.
Yeah.
Obviously, streaming's gone to a new level.
That's true. Streaming has gone through the roof, and that's going to be part of that. That's actually something I do want to mention, is we're probably going to see more. I know Netflix has always kind of taken a backseat when it comes to SDCC. A lot of times you would watch panels, like, for example, Sense8. They had an unofficial panel at SDCC when that show first came out, because Netflix doesn't really support as much, or they weren't as much as they should have, to these shows when it comes to Comic-Con and showing the material that they have and how it can be relatable to people that enjoy comics and comic book conventions. I think that's going to change, particularly because Amazon has been doing it for a while and it does seem to be successful for them, but also because, as you said, Kevin, we have such a large rise in streaming platforms in general that we didn't have before. HBO Max, Paramount Plus, Crackle, Pluto, whatever else, you know, all 35 of the other streaming platforms, that I think we're going to see that more and more. And I think it's important because, if, for example, Paramount Plus is probably going to do a Halo panel just to talk about that series, which would be smart because it's video games. Video games and comic books are kind of like married pretty much. They go hand in hand. So it makes sense, but we'll see. We'll see where it goes.
I guess the big one on that was depending on how well the show did with ratings so far, and if it's something you want to push for a second season two or not. If they're just going to kind of push it under the rug and be like, oh, this did bad, and then you may not see a presence. So I guess, yeah, it really depends on how well it's done so far.
That's a good point. I think it's done pretty well for them as far as getting the name of Paramount Plus out there. They didn't have too many subscribers up until that point. And then with the onset and the idea of Halo, it got a lot of people really excited. So we started to see more and more subscribers for Paramount Plus. So there was a huge uptick for them. So I feel like they will. But again, Chris, you're right. You know, ratings could have taken a huge dive. And they might be like, oh, let's just sweep this under the rug and advertise Yellowstone.
As they should, because one's a good show and the other one's not good. So I'll let you guys guess which one I'm talking about. But
wow. Chris. Shame, shame, shame. Anyway.
Yellowstone's a good one. I mean.
Wow.
No, I've heard good things about Yellowstone. I've heard good things.
Hey, so when it comes to Comic-Con, I think, and Chris, no offense to this, but I would say Kevin and I are probably pretty seasoned veterans. We've been going together since, what, 2006, I want to say?
2007. 2006 was you and Pete.
Oh, that's right. 2007, yeah. So 2006, it was Pete, myself, and Tanner, if I recall, and then 2007, you joined into the fray. So we've been going for almost
15 years at this point.
35 years, if I'm doing the math correct. 35 years.
Yeah, it feels like that way. I mean, think about it. We were pups. We were puppies in our 20s when we first started going.
Right. And I'm talking, when I say I'm doing the math, I'm talking about, and you're right, I'm talking about Comic-Con years, because those 4 or 5 days that you're there will age you pretty much an entire year.
Deal with all those crowds.
Yes.
Let's see. Begin
to talk about
that. I've done one Sunday at San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
15 years ago.
And that's actually the lightest day, so to speak.
Yeah. I remember there was a panel for the 4400. That's how long ago it was.
Jesus. That's pretty old. I don't even, it's like saying, what was that? It was a Eureka. Oh, I like that Eureka show. Okay, Grandpa.
And I remember Nicolas Cage was there with his son talking about a comic book they were writing.
Yep, Kal-El.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kal-El. Chris and I actually went to Nicolas Cage's grave, his tomb. He's not there, obviously, he's still alive. But he had pre-purchased a plot in New Orleans at this cemetery. And Chris and I went to it to see it, and it is glorious. It is a what just describe the shape of it, Chris.
Oh, it is a pyramid. It is 100% a pyramid. I'm pretty sure Nick Cage next season, an Egyptian god or pharaoh. He built himself a pyramid.
Yeah. Yes, he did. It's a big white pyramid with like 4 pillars on the corners.
That's Mumra.
Yeah, kind of. He was super excited when he went there to visit it, and people found out it was his, and they were kissing it like women. And there was all these lipstick prints all over the pyramid. And they were like, oh, don't worry, Mr. Cage, we'll get rid of those. And he's like, oh, no, I want you to keep them. And they're like, no, actually, we can't because it's desecrating the tomb due to the religion here and you know, the way we work here at the cemetery. We can't leave that. Like that's our responsibility to get rid of it. And he's like, oh, okay. He was super sad about it, which is funny. You know, crazy.
Where is this pyramid located?
Geez, what was the name of the cemetery? I can't remember now.
It's one of the big ones. It's one of the bigger, like more famous cemeteries.
Older one too.
Yeah, it's one of the most famous of the cemeteries when you go to New Orleans.
Oh. Yeah,
but I can't remember the name of it. But
you want to look it up, Kevin and I will take this real quick on exactly. I just want to tell people what they should prepare themselves for stepping into SDCC 2022, because of what I saw last year. Now I went to the show back in November. It was Comic-Con
Light, something like that.
Yeah, Comic-Con Point
Maybe.
One.
Mini light.
Yeah, something like that. And I went to that for a day. Now, I didn't think it was going to be anything huge, but I thought it was going to be a lot larger than it was. It was actually quite small. There was a lot, and I mean a lot of empty space. Not like what you would have seen in the prior years of SDCC. It was kind of sad to see. But I will say vendors were giving really good deals, so that was nice. So hopefully that continues to do that. And I think it will. What we're seeing right now is an unprecedented dive in popularity in like comics in general as far as prospecting is concerned. And I say that kind of tongue in cheek because we've seen it before. We've seen comic books lower in price and then we've seen them raise back up. We've seen them skyrocket. It's an ebb and flow. It's something that's always going to happen. So I feel like if you're planning on getting into investing in comic books, now's a really good time, actually, because prices are lower. Buy low, sell high. Just like the stock.
Warren Buffett would say.
Yep. And except for like sometimes you have to sit on things a little bit longer, but it's more stable, if that makes sense. There's less likelihood of comic books being worthless then there would be somebody's stock for some company that you don't know. You know these characters, you know these writers, you know these books, and you know the value. So, you know, first appearance of Thor, for example, you know, that's a good one, obviously. And I don't feel that that's ever going to lower in value enough that it's going to make it a unworthy, no pun intended, book to have. And I say that because of Thor Love and Thunder. Thor loses his hammer basically because he's deemed somewhat unworthy. But I digress. So I feel like SDCC 22 is going to be a little bit of a hodgepodge. We're going to have less people inclined to spend as much money. So I think we're going to have some lower prices for people so they will be inclined to spend their money. I also think that we're going to have cheaper items that'll be available as far as like exclusives are concerned. Now, they're still going hard with some exclusives, but I did see a few that are coming out here that I think will be fun. Particularly, this is one of my favorite ones, is, and I know it's ridiculous, it's the Star Trek Enterprise teacup and saucer prop replica. It's like what you would have if you were on the Federation starship. Everything's branded, so even Captain Picard, if he had his Earl Grey, it would be in this teacup and saucer. And he would have it. He would be drinking from it. So I thought that was super cool.
And he would say, make it so, number one.
Right. Yes. Yes. Make it so, number one. Yes, absolutely. another thing that I thought was really cool is Entertainment Earth is doing these VHS packagings for certain things. For example, they have a John Wick figure that comes in a VHS package. They have a Bruce Lee figure. And then they have two Cobra Kais. They have Johnny Lawrence and Daniel LaRusso. And they are reasonably priced, actually. They're $25 a piece, which is not normally something you would see. You normally think figures like this would probably be anywhere from $45 to $55. Correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so I agree.
They're banking on these being big sellers so they can make back money because they've lowered the cost or the price. So they have to sell more in order to make that up, which they probably will because they do look really cool. Yeah.
Wise decision. And you know what? I'm going to bet $1 million. Just like as we know, every time we would go there, something would sell for the whole day. Oh, sorry. Come back tomorrow. And then you have to play that game because it's going to be a hot item.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what we're going to see. Stuff like that. You know, like store, like NEC is going to be there, of course. Entertainment Earth's going to be there. A big one is going to be Funko. Funko's going to be there.
Hasbro.
And their presence is going to be known. Hasbro will be there, yes, of course, and Mattel.
Mattel, yep. Don't forget Lego. Lego is always huge.
Yeah, doesn't Funko always usually do a really cool exclusive, like San Diego exclusive?
Yep, I was trying to get there. Funko's got some really cool exclusives. One of them is, we all remember Loki, the series last year, correct?
That's right.
And the little animated logo Timekeeper dude.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was a girl. Like, yeah, she's like, hi there. I'm the, you know, da 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 da. Right. You know, yeah. Right. He's like,
that is going to be a Funko Pop, which I thought was cool.
Uh-oh.
Something they've also done is they've done, and this I think is going to be huge, Ninja Turtle Power Ranger hybrids. So Ninja Turtles dressed as Power Rangers.
Wow.
So I think those are going to be really, really big.
It's going to be There was a crossover comic, so it might be from that, where the Turtles became the Power Rangers, and the Power Rangers, like, did their ninja skills, and so, yeah, so.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Just looking at the list, I see some Sonic stuff. I see, of course, some He-Man. I see Star Wars, G.I. Joe. It looks like we get a Serpentor and a Unicron figure for Transformers.
Oh, my.
Yep, looks like we're getting Bambi, we're getting the bird, the logo bird from SDCC that you'll see if you're watching the video behind me, which is a toucan, if I recall, or some type of a bird similar to a toucan.
Hey, Donald, you're not going to believe this. Just the minute you said that, you mentioned the Timekeeper character. Oh, her name is Miss Minutes from Loki. Okay. On eBay right now, pre-sale. $150.
People are expecting to
profit be able already.
To purchase those and bless their hearts for that. You know, the lottery hasn't even come up, and they already think they're going to get in. So, good for them.
Yeah, good for them.
Good for them. But yeah, so it looks like it'll be a fun time as far as the exclusives are concerned. It looks like everybody's bringing the heat. which is great. I think there's going to be less people involved, less people wanting to come, probably because of the pandemic, but also just because they don't want to deal with the crowds. I think there's going to be some level of anxiety having not immersed yourself into a big event like this and then going back into that. There's going to be a lot of people that I feel won't want to do that, and that's fine. But I will say I do believe that they've already – I think, I don't know if tickets, general public tickets went on sale or not yet. I think they have, but I'm not
100%. I have no idea, to be honest with you. I doubt it. I don't think there really was much left just because the amount of people were transferring tickets from.
Everybody from 2020.
Yeah, the 2021, you know, so. Until,
2022. So it's been a bit. Yeah. I think that, like, because of that, we're going to have a mixed bag. You know, we're going to have. Some booths will be like, you know, you need to wait, stand apart 6 feet. You know, that's the protocol we're following for our booth. Other booths will be like, you need to be masked up if you're inside, you know, and then other booths won't be that way. Each booth will be like their own state and their own governing philosophy, I feel, behind that. I could be wrong there, but I feel like that's going to be the way it's going to go. Mm-hmm. And if you want to be involved in a certain booth, you just have to follow their protocol. And honestly, that's fine. You know, as long as it's not like you have to paint your face, you have to, you know, take your shirt off, stuff like that. No. But when it comes to like masking up or, you know, just making sure that you're staying, you know, separated apart from each other a certain amount of time or a space, that's fine too. It doesn't really bother me. I know it does bother some people, but then they don't have to go to that. So that's okay. That's less people in line, so I can get in. But what do you guys feel about, like, are you nervous about this? Are you, as far as, like, the crowds and with there being somewhat of a more, if you check the numbers, a little bit of a spike in COVID, is that anything that's on your radar that's bothering you?
Yeah, the thought has crossed my mind a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm worried about any time I go into something that's in public, doing a lot of public events this summer. That's not even as much as that. And I'm definitely like worried, and I would definitely be masking up for that purpose. Because yeah, it does worry me a bit. I don't want to end up, I know people who have gone out to the like cities and done things and have gotten COVID in the last month. So, it definitely worries me a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And I could totally see that. I mean, and you also have to think that there are some people that get sicker easier. They have breathing issues, stuff like that, you know, that normally they'd be fine in this type of environment. But right now, it's just a risk. And is it a risk they're willing to take? So, you know, they'll have to, each individual basically will have to look at that and say, hey, do I want to do that? I do feel like there's going to be a lot more outdoor events, you know, particularly out in the lawn and things like that around SDCC, the Gaslight District, stuff like that. There's going to be a lot of things outdoors. Petco Park, of course, is going to be packed and filled to the brim with people because a lot of it's, you know, it's an outdoor event. So people feel a little safer, a little more assured in those environments. So I feel like we're going to get more of that. I am looking forward to getting back there and being a part of the community. I think that's nice. And the fact that this is basically before I have to re-register, you know, we have to re-register. This is our last truly professional event that we'll be doing for the year. As far as like what we've already pre-registered for and stuff, there'll be other events obviously that haven't come up yet that we have to register for and, you know, and get passes to go to and things like that. But this one's a little bittersweet, I feel. And particularly as Kevin was saying, we used to go with a large group. And now that large group is down to two. So, you know.
Just for this year because of circumstances.
Yeah. So it'll be a little bittersweet for us. Obviously, we are going to be aligning ourselves with other people to create a larger group. And that's just because if you want to get certain things at the convention, that's always a smart move. You know, aligning yourselves with people and working together as a team. Chris, you have gone to New York Comic Con, which is another big one. Tell us a little bit about that. Is there a lot of similarities or Do you think when New York Comic Con comes back, it'll be how do you think that'll go?
Well, it's the same, but it's different. There's a lot less panels in the New York Comic Con. And then what they do for at the New York Comic Con is if they do panels or do screenings or something like that, they're at separate buildings and they usually have a separate ticket cost. So they're not part of Comic Con itself. Usually you're paying for extra for a panel. So it's kind of like limiting how many people are going to go see these concerts. And rather than people waiting, or not these panels, rather than people waiting in line, once the tickets are sold out, you get a ticket, you go. You don't get a ticket, you don't go. So it was like some of the bigger ones. There are some smaller panels and stuff that happen, but it's such a small space compared to what the San Diego Convention Center has that they can't fit. There's also a huge, I don't remember if San Diego has it because it's been, what, 15 years since I've been, but there's half of the comic or half of the New York CC is just books in general, not even comic books, just books.
Oh, wow.
And so there's all... So there's a huge section just for authors and stuff. And you can usually, like, that's my favorite part of New York Comic Con is you go there and meet a lot of authors and you can talk to authors and you can get a lot of free sample books. You can go bags and bags of book every day, every hour to give them, like, they have giveaways for books and a lot of panels with authors. And like they'll have readings and stuff like that. And so that's a kind of a difference between, like, I don't remember how much they had that at San Diego Comic-Con. So it's a big difference. So you have all that other stuff you got to fit in. And there's also a small video game section. And then there's all this other stuff in a smaller space. So they do a lot of stuff spread out throughout the city. But I really, 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 really like the book section. I really think that's really cool that the whole half of it is just... Yeah,
That makes perfect sense. New York is like the publishing capital of the country, not the world.
I think Penguin Press is probably the biggest publisher, like, for books that SDCC has. So they do push some of their publications, and they have some books for sale. But that's it. They're like a booth there. The rest of the place is like all pop culture, like toys and film. And then there will be a small section for comic books. I would say probably, Kevin, you want to say about an eighth of the floor is comic books, somewhere around there?
At this point, yeah. I would say that. At this point, yes.
Like an eighth is actual comic books. So then within that eighth, there's one booth that's books. And then the rest is all toys and pop culture, mainly. Like, because you'll have companies like... Lionsgate, that'll take a big booth. Warner Brothers will take
Disney. And
Marvel will have a big booth.
Speaking
of which, I don't think we're going to see much Marvel while we're here at SDCC this year. I think it's going to be primarily, we're going to see a lot of DC and a lot of independents because I think when it comes to film and stuff, because Marvel, I think they're going to push all their stuff through Disney's convention that's going to be happening. I think that was in August.
D23,
yeah.
Now, I'm sure the floor will still have a traditional Marvel booth, Star Wars, booth. They'll still have that at least, but you're right. As far as like the big panels, unfortunately, not going to have that.
Yeah, I think Hall H is going to be a little lacking this year. We're going to see a lot of television series that some people don't even care about. Like, I remember, and no knock to Sons of Anarchy, but each year when they get a panel, like, if they get a panel on Hall H, you're like...
It felt bad. You felt bad.
Yeah, it's kind of lacking. Yeah, because it's not going to be full. If it was Ballroom 20, it would look better for them because it would be packed. But Hall H is, what, three times as large? Something like that?
Yeah, it fits like 800 or something people.
Yeah, I think Hall H holds 6,400?
Yeah, 6,500 people.
6,500. Insane amount of people in one room. That's crazy.
It's too many people, especially in today's environment.
Right. So what's going to happen with that? That's another question. So we'll see. I'm excited about all of it, though. Is there anything you guys want to quickly mention before we wrap this up?
Well, since you mentioned Marvel, that's not going to be there. Obviously, this is DC's opportunity, DC Warner Brothers, to take advantage and really bring the fire on Saturday, because usually that's the big day anyway for Hall H. So if I were them, you better come up with some good stuff and some big surprises to fill in the gap.
Mm-hmm. I think Friday will still be Star Wars Day, so there's that. You know, we'll still have that. But, yeah, I agree. I think DC needs to step up their game. And now's the time for smaller companies, Amazon, Netflix, you know, people like that, streamers, to really bring it.
Cobra Kai panel, Stranger Things panel, The Boys panel. Those could draw some folks.
Yep, and The Boys is huge right now with what's going on in the show and stuff. So, yeah, we could see that. We could see The Boys. I definitely think we'll see The Boys in Hall H at some point while we're there.
Oh, and how could I forget? Speaking of Amazon Prime, the new Lord of the Rings show that's coming. Chances are they could probably do something there, too.
On the passes are some of the Lord of the Rings images. So Amazon is definitely pushing that hard, especially during this SDCC.
Well, the money they spent on that series, they better.
Very true. That's very true.
There was no E3 this year, so I'm wondering if there might be a bigger presence in video game production companies there. Mm-hmm. Since there is no convention for them to go to for E3, so they might be like going to the other conventions and having a bigger presence. So I would not doubt seeing a bigger like video game presence at these conventions.
That's a good point.
I agree. Capcom usually has like a big booth there, for example. So you're absolutely right.
Yeah. Really quickly, I just want to mention a few of our sponsors. Please check out Splattered Frog Brewing Company. It's on my hat. Go to splatteredfrog.com, type in shortbox, save 20% off your online order. They are a brewery company based out of Texas. Another company that we have as a sponsor is Haps Hot Sauce. Go to HapsHotSauce.com, type in the coupon code DonaldHiccup, save 10% off your order. They have pickle hot sauce, watermelon rhubarb hot sauce, pineapple, peach, you name it. Kind of a off-the-wall flavor combination that just tastes delicious, they have it. So check them out also. And I want to thank you, the listener. Please make sure to like and subscribe if you would. Check us out on YouTube. We do a live show every Monday at 7:30 p.m. Pacific time, almost every Monday. We'll be off for holidays and things like that and occasional days. We'll probably be taking a break after SDCC for the week just to recoup. So there'll be that too, but then we'll be back in it to talk a little bit about what we saw and what happened and how it went and stuff. So we'll do a follow-up podcast to kind of bookend this one so you can get a feel for it and see if it's something that you might want to do in the future also. I do want to say that we also have our audio podcast, which you're probably listening to right now, on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and a whole host of others. And anything else I'm missing here, gentlemen?
Are we on Netflix yet?
What's that?
Chris? Oh, I said, are we on Netflix? Are we on Netflix yet?
No, we're not. Gotcha. We could get there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But okay. Please subscribe, leave a like, tell your friends, tell your family.
Yep. And if we don't see you out and about anytime soon, perhaps we'll see you
at the amazing, spectacular, and always sensational comic book shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.